Maz and Beamer. Now Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, B-Maz and Beamer back with you here on WBEM. Brian Mazurowski, my good friend Joe Beamer. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great. Ready to kickstart the day. See what I did there?
Oh, the song?
Yeah.
Took me a while. You know what I say, Joe? Always a good day when they replace the pad in the urinal. Smells smells great.
That is a great day.
Something I look forward to once a month, every month.
I mean, that should be an announcement. Hey.
Just so
get
you know,
it while you can.
Just so you know, it's safe. B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN. You know, lots to get to today, Joe. I love this. This is going to happen at about 11 o'clock, not far from where I live. Actually, the second time in a couple weeks where Congressman Brian Higgins will be on my running route. Just that maybe I'll see him today,
yeah.
Running around the neighborhood. But he'll be outside the one of... If I'm going to rank famous bridges in Buffalo, I'm wondering, Buffalo and Western New York.
Right.
I'm wondering where this. So I would say number one, Peace Bridge, right?
Yes.
Number two, do you go Grand Island or Rainbow?
Ooh.
I don't think Lewiston Queenston beats out either of those.
No. Both the Grand Island Bridge and Rainbow Bridge have been in movies. So they are tied for second in my
opinion. What movie was the Rainbow Bridge in? I know Grand Island Bridge was just in the Quiet Place movie.
Well, there's, you know what? I'm just guessing because there's movies at Niagara Falls. So I'm just guessing that the Rainbow Bridge has been in a movie.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll say, you know, internationally, Rainbow. I'll go Rainbow here.
Okay.
Just because outside of West, inside Western New York, maybe it's a Grand Island, but I'll say, okay, famous bridges in Western New York, Peace Bridge, number one.
Yep.
I'll do Rainbow Bridge, number two.
Which is an underwhelming bridge, but yes.
I get what you're saying. It's right there.
Right, yes.
You see the falls and the bridge. Very cool. Grand Island bridges, all four of them just lumped into
one. Yep.
Number three. We'll do Lewiston Queenston number four, just because it's another international border crossing.
Okay.
I'll put number five, the little bridges that they put up at Canal Side.
Okay, yes.
Number six, the Ohio Street Lift Bridge.
Yes, yes.
And number seven, I would put this here, not too far from my house, the CSX bridge that the trucks keep crashing into.
It's so interesting because when we started this, I was going to have that in my top five. But you've the ones you've reminded me of, yes, I think seventh is great on this list.
Well, people only think about this when an idiot drives a truck into it.
It gets a lot of media attention.
Yeah, well, for rightfully so.
Yes.
Like, look at this. Someone drove a truck into a bridge. Well, anyway, today... So, outside my top five, where I locally, you know, for me, it would be in the top five. I live not too far away.
This is a bridge you know very well.
This would beat out Ohio Street and those little canal side bridges.
Yes.
But, you know, just throughout Western New York, I don't think so. Someone's saying, did they show the Rainbow Bridge in Youngblood with Rob Lowe? I don't know.
Oh.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. I'd have to go back and look.
IMDb.
But, you know, one of the top 10 most famous bridges in Western New York, for the only reason why is because trucks keep on crashing into it. Congressman Higgins will be there along with the mayor of the city of Tonawanda. This is located in the city of Tonawanda. Ooh, someone's saying Skyway. Does really quickly, before we keep on diving down,
ooh.
Does the Skyway count as a bridge?
Oh, that's two great questions.
If it does,
it's top five.
Yes. If it doesn't, no. I want to say no. I think the Skyway is just a very high highway. A bridge has to be connecting two things together.
Right.
I just see the sky. I mean, the Skyway does go over water, but I just kind of look at it as. It's the continuation of an expressway.
Yeah, neither of us thought the Skyway, so I think we're both on the same page. It didn't naturally come up. I don't think you look at the Skyway and go, look at that big bridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. So
yeah.
I'm going to say no, but I'm not going to, you know, throw it out.
Well,
I think it can be considered a bridge.
For this show, the Skyway is not a bridge. Because the two hosts agree.
That's the ruling on this show.
Yes.
You can, and if you think the Skyway is a bridge, I'm fine with that too. It's just here it's not a bridge, not included in the top 10.
Right. We can go the bridge we're talking about is now 7 or (8). It can be like a college football ratings. It depends on where you're who you're talking to.
We're the coaches and the associated listeners can have their own say. But at the CSX bridge, that's where a bunch of lawmakers will be to announce some new ideas, new project funding to help out on this bridge that's been hit. Joe, are you ready for the number? I know the number every time I see it, though. It's like I start laughing. Since in 2021, there were 3 hits in 1 week.
In 1 week.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, I remember that week.
It was, what a week.
Yeah.
One of the most exciting, weeks to be around. I mean, just kept hitting the bridge. Since 2000, there have been 64 times where a truck has hit that bridge. 64 times. Yes. Now we're talking about 22 years, but still, 64 times.
That's almost averaging 3 times a year.
That's incredible.
Right.
And it keeps happening. Now, since then, since the 3 times in 2021, actually, no. This happened a while ago. This would have happened before 2021 with those 3 hits. There's if you go down, which I do every single day, I drive under this bridge at least 5 times a week.
Right.
Because I get off at Young, I go work out, and then I go from the gym, and I go along Young's, and I go there, make a little turn down, and I go to my house that way. So I drive under the bridge, haven't hit it yet.
Good.
But I drive under that at least 5 times a day, or a week. There are signs that they've put up. There are at least 4 signs before you hit the bridge saying no trucks. Or, low bridge or something like that.
Yes.
So it's sign.
Warning signs.
No trucks are even allowed on that stretch of the road anymore.
Exactly.
Because of this. So all of this is there. And still, it's not enough to stop, these trucks from hitting the bridge. So what's going to be announced today? $1.2 million for an innovative project designed to improve safety in the city of Tonawanda. The investment will allow for the implementation of a new warning system and detour route to eliminate frequently occurring truck hits at the CSX rail bridge over Young Street. Now, Joe, I'm reading this as, I don't know why this was my mindset when I saw this announcement later last night. I was reading this as, in the shoes of somebody, I was imagining being somebody who's under audit from the IRS. Luckily, it's never happened to me before.
Right.
But I'm, imagining myself, I'm in that shoes where, I'm under audit from the IRS and I'm forced to explain, this deduction here, a few thousand dollars here, should you have gotten this $2,000 rebate or no? Is there something faulty in your paperwork? And I'm imagining being that person who the government is going after for, $2,000 or $3,000 for a normal person with a deduction. And looking at this, reading that, hang on a second. Can I audit you? Because you're asking me about $2,000. Aren't you the same federal government that is now spending $1.2 million to tell people, hey, don't drive your truck into that bridge?
Well, no, to find a better way to tell that truck not to drive into the bridge, because they're already telling you that. When you sent this to me, I really thought it was going to be something for the bridge, something to do with infrastructure. But no, it's just about technology and adding more signs, adding digital signs. And let me ask you this. There's got to be a ticket or a fine for the trucks that go on this road they're not supposed to be on, right? I mean, these trucks are getting fined.
Well, it's again, you can't even drive on this road. It's not part of it. As somebody is texting in, a strict part of CDL truck driving training, just to get your license, about bridge safety checks, knowing height restrictions, everything like that. It gets to a point Somebody else chimed in saying that they live a couple miles away. They've been hitting that bridge since I was a kid, and now they're 49 years old. Sometimes I look at this and I think, maybe these trucks are just hitting it, you know, out of tradition. It's like a Notre Dame player slapping that sign on their way out to the field.
Right, that's...
play like a champion today.
When you're in Western New York.
And it's just like sometimes a truck driver's got to slam their truck into this bridge.
But you would think in the trucking community, there would be like...
You would know about it.
Right, like there'd be more warnings than just the signs.
You would know about it because of the signs. You would also know about it because if you have eyes, you can see it, right?
Yes.
The bridge is low.
It is.
And it's lower than your truck. So you're going to hit it if you try and go under it. So that you would know about it that way, too. And then you would also know about it by the 64 news stories since the year 2000 right. about trucks hitting this bridge. Well,
because I just think, you know, we work in the radio industry, right? And if a violation happens, we usually get some kind of communication about that violation. Hey,
they send us an email.
Right. Don't do this. Don't do that. You would think these companies whose drivers continuously are getting fined might make it a point. Oh, you're doing a delivery in Western New York. Hey, avoid this road for two reasons. It's the law and there's a very low bridge that you will hit.
Joe, I would bet you there's a percentage of truck drivers in Tucson who know about this bridge.
Yes, right.
Word gets out, and it kind of, you know, like you just said.
Right. I mean, for an incident that happens almost three times a year, it's if you are heading to New York State, and there's a chance you're going to be in Western New York, you would think you'd be warned about this bridge. But, hey, let's throw $1.2 million more dollars to do what we've already been doing.
Which is, again, I'm not even saying it's a bad thing, because the trucks keep hitting the bridge. This bridge, by the way... study that in structural engineering. You want to talk? Yesterday, we spent all yesterday talking about sound structures and living. Now, I wouldn't live in a van next to the grain mill, the Great Northern Grain Elevator,
right,
that the wind blew a hole in. You want to talk about a sound structure? It's not that. It's not the one that the wind blew over. It's the one that's been slammed by trucks 64 times in the last 22 years.
Trains are still going right over.
Trains are still going over it. It's still standing solid. That's the most solid bridge I've ever seen in my entire life. I would live in a van under that bridge, no problem.
I would hope part of the $1.2 million is a digital sign literally on the bridge saying, "Hey, stupid, stop."
It's kind of what I know. Inflation is high and the price of everything is up, but $1.2 million better buy a pretty big sign.
Yeah.
The whole bridge is going to turn into a sign.
Right. That's exactly. And, you know, some
that'll
kind of,
be hit by someone.
Some kind of sensor that can sense, hey, a truck is coming and just flashes, stop, stupid. And hopefully they get the point.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm not even saying it's a bad idea, because you need to do something to stop that. And, you know, it's $1.2 million. I would think, hopefully, you might be able to do it for less.
Right, yeah.
But again, that's I don't know that for sure. I'm not the one spending money. Construction costs are high right now. But $1.2 million. Again, I'm just imagining that guy being audited over like $2,000.
And then seeing this story.
The same federal government is, you know, over $1 million to tell people to stop hitting a bridge.
But I am interested, because I know we have a lot of truck drivers in the audience. I am interested, you know, what goes through your mind? Because, Brian, like you said, forget the signs. Forget the 64 incidents. You're a truck driver. You know, you've been driving this truck up and down the road. You know the size of this thing. And you see the bridge right there.
Well, here, now that part I don't know, because I'm not a truck driver. So let's turn to the experts, and we'll start with Tom. Tom, you're on WBEN. All right, Tom. Now, is it totally out of your conscience as somebody who's been driving trucks for a lot of years that people would continue to hit the same bridge, or do you have a reason why?
Yes, I certainly do. I certainly do. The problem is these people, a lot of them are immigrants from Canada that are hauling cheap containers and cheap freight. A lot of them came from Pakistan, India, third world countries. They can't speak or understand English. So what they do is they give them a cheap cell phone with a GPS on them and say, use this. Those are civilian models. commercial models are very expensive. The last I had heard, $600-$700. Personally, I have no use for them. I don't like them. But here's what they will do. If they're heading for the Canadian Bridge, rather than pay the toll on the Grand Island Bridge, they will take, that thing will route you the shortest route possible with no consideration of any bridge clearance, weight limits, truck routes. And if you look on a map, Yonge Street, if you've ever been on that, you get down by the canal, you're twisting around with a 53-foot trailer to get up onto whatever it is, Delaware, eventually military, and then they run along the river out there to or to Niagara Falls Boulevard and hit the Niagara Thruway out there beyond the tolls.
Now, Tom, I've heard this before, and now you can, you're the expert in this field. I was under the understanding that, okay, truck drivers did have that special GPS or special routes that were supposed to divert them away. But whether it's this bridge or what we're seeing from a lot of people who are texting into us this morning, just kind of residential roads that have seen more truck traffic, you're saying that even still, not everybody is getting the equipment that they need. They're just thrown, you know, the Waze or whatever that I can use in my car, no problem. And this is why it's still happening.
They're just using a cell phone. And they don't have maps. And the reason they hit that bridge, now, you've been on the street, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, at least five times a week, I drive under that bridge.
All right. I pulled 13-6 trailers basically all my life. That's the legal limit here in New York and most of the states, with some exceptions, Michigan and this kind of thing. But and those trailers don't go out of the state because they'd be hitting bridges every 10 miles. And the thing of it is, if I drove my pickup truck under that bridge, I would slow down and duck. It's that low. But since it gets very complicated down beyond that bridge, around the canal, Niagara Street, is it, and that kind of thing, whatever that is, where it gets very complicated, they are staring at that phone thinking about what they're going to have to do. They're not looking at where they're driving. They're staring at that GPS.
Tom, I
get what I mean.
I get what you mean. I appreciate the call. And I would say, obviously, they're not looking where they're driving, right? I mean, that's the it's nice to have a little bit of an explanation behind that. At the end of the day, I just, nothing that Tom said, and he's kind of giving you the reasons why this happened, and I understand it. At the end of the day, whether the GPS is leading you here or not, whether you are concerned about upcoming turns or not, you're driving your truck into a low bridge and there's a bunch of signs telling you not to.
Right. Yeah.
Like at some point, it's just like, all right, I understand there's a million things going on. There could be reasons the drivers are still on that road even after all this happening. It's the fault of the driver.
Right. I mean, the first thing, I'm not a truck driver. I do drive a lot. The first thing you learn is pay attention to all signs, right? I mean, every driver, I'm imagining if you get your CDL, that's even echoed. Like, hey, you're this big vehicle amongst these tiny cars. Make sure you're paying attention to all signs on the road, because if you ignore a very important sign, say it's not the bridge, Brian, say it's, you know, something to do with cars crossing, or if you ignore all signs, it could be very dangerous to people on the road, and we're seeing that right here in Tonawanda.
I like one of the techs calling in, 803-0930, by the way, if you want to weigh in, 803-0930. Someone's saying that $1.2 million, does that include the environmental impact study, the other studies they have to do before they put a lit sign on either side of the bridge? Because at the end of the day, it's probably what you're going to get. Joe, you said you're not a truck driver, but you did drive a PT Cruiser, so that's... I don't know.
You got to remind people of that.
Pretty close. Yeah, I mean, that's right. Just as cool. Robert in Lackawanna, you're on WBEN. All right, Robert, am I just like totally being not caring enough toward all the truck drivers out there for saying, hey, maybe you shouldn't drive into this bridge?
Well, they shouldn't drive into that bridge. I've been driving for over 40 years. I started out hauling cars. And, of course, when you're doing something like that, they don't appreciate it if you make convertibles out of them. So, you know, you're very cognizant and careful about your overhead clearance. However, there are a lot of people are coming into the industry, and they're not being trained properly, for one thing. I think that's one contributing factor. But the other thing is this, when you get down in an area like the bridge that you're talking about, and you're driving maybe a sleeper cab with a 53-foot trailer, and the surroundings aren't very, conducive for a big vehicle like that. And a lot of these people they're probably poorly trained, and they're probably distracted as well. And I personally don't see how you could not realize that you're getting ready to have a disaster. The bridge is so low, you could walk underneath it and bump your head.
That's right, Robert. We're up against it. We got to go. But I have to ask you, because you said you drove a truck that carried other cars. And, is just somebody who drives. I'm always nervous. I'm always quick to pass you in that car. There's just something about seeing the cars up there on the truck. I don't want to be behind it. But I never hear of, like, a car falling off or an accident. Am I just being overly paranoid? Or am I just very smart to just not want to drive behind one of those trucks ever?
You're smart not to be in the proximity of any truck. The ones that you can't see the cargo are the ones you have to worry about. The cars are pretty secure, but, just for safety, I would never hover next to any tractor trailer. If you saw what was inside of some of these things, you definitely would not hover next to them. So, no, I think you're just being careful and being safe.
All right. Hey, Robert, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening. If you want to weigh in, 803-0930, this $1.2 million to stop people from driving into a bridge, which should just kind of be common sense, but we're lacking that these days in many different areas, apparently here too. Also, is the Skyway a bridge? We're getting a lot of pushback on this, Joe.
We are getting more than I thought. You know, it's not the topic, but hey, convince us. Convince us the Skyway's a bridge.
803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer, we'll be back.
It's BMAZ and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, back here, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. And we're talking about bridges in Western New York, one in particular. And we'll start, I do want to start this segment kind of where the conversation started, where I was trying to list off the most famous bridges in Buffalo. I was trying to say that this was one of the most famous bridges in Buffalo. And I was kind of going down the list. If I had to make the list, you know, top five or top 10 most famous bridges in Buffalo, I think One Peace Bridge, you got to start there.
Yes.
Two, Rainbow Bridge. Which somebody said on the text board, it was in the movie Youngblood.
Okay.
So there you go.
So there's one.
Three, we'll do Grand Island Bridge, and that's all four of them.
It's a whole package.
Yeah, you get it all.
Yep.
Bridges. All counts as one. Four, Lewis and Queenston, you know, another international bridge
right.
We put there. I said, you know, five might be the little bridges at Canal Side that they put up, the foot bridges. You know, drive over them, but like all those little things there. That's in mine included, by the way. 75% of wedding photos that have been taken in Buffalo and Western New York in the last decade.
There you go.
I would say that. So that puts it up there. You have the Ohio Street Lift Bridge.
Yes.
And then I said, and you know, we left off the Skyway as a bridge. I could be, just because I've never thought of the Skyway as a bridge. It's just like, it's a highway to me.
It was off both of our lists. So we both were in agreement that the Skyway was not a bridge.
But now everybody's saying that the Skyway is a bridge. And the more I think about it, it's like, well, yeah, it kind of almost obviously is a bridge. It's just a really high bridge. It goes over water. I was, if we're being truthful, I was mostly leaving it off the list so that I could put the CSX bridge
at seven.
By my house, just anywhere in the top 10.
Yeah.
So that that could be there that the trucks keep hitting, because I wanted that in the top 10. And the Skyway would obviously outrank that.
But it would still be in the top 10.
I don't know, though. You know, so many people have really good ideas for this. Someone mentioned the bridge on the 219, the one that goes over Zora Valley.
Okay.
I mean, that's up there. I want to keep this in the top 10 though, so that's why I'm going to tighten down on my bridge definition.
Well, someone went to a dictionary and gave us the definition of a bridge, and with this definition, you know, I guess the Skyway is a bridge. It says a structure spanning and providing passage over a river, road, or the like. And the Skyway is giving you passage over something the entire time.
Yeah, I guess that's true. All right.
We'll take the L. It's still the CSX bridge is still an 8, and you know, you might want to move another bridge down and to keep it 7. I don't know.
It's still my favorite bridge. It's the greatest bridge. It's been hit 64 times.
It is one tough bridge.
Since the year 2000 and still standing. You know, to put that in other words, we were told yesterday by numerous voices that Great Northern grain elevator was structurally sound after the wind blew a hole in it.
I was going to say the wind.
So if that's structurally sound, what is this bridge that's been hit by trucks 64 times in just over 2 decades and is still standing strong enough to have all the trains go over? I saw an Amtrak go over that the other day.
Do you think the Great Northern would still stand after 64 trucks hit it?
I mean, it's structurally sound. Should we try? I mean, that's what we're going to have. I wouldn't live next to the Great Northern all winter long. I would live next to this bridge.
Yes.
Because I don't think it's coming down anytime soon. But it's going to happen. $1.2 million, a project to implement a new warning system and detour route to eliminate trucks hitting the bridge. In other words, they're spending over $1 million. Over $1 million to basically say, hey, idiot, don't drive into a bridge.
And that's for $1.2 million. I hope that's what it says. I was about to say billion, but million. I hope that's what it says. I hope it's calling out the, like I said, this for $1.2 million. And you mentioned inflation, but there has to be some type of sensor that, you know, you pass this sensor, lights start flashing, right? There's images on this board that's on the bridge. Hey, stop. Maybe a noise is blasting outside. For $1.2 million, I'm hoping something so high tech that they're talking about it nationwide.
See, I would have liked to go the other way, like this one person who texted in, why not hang those big plastic pipes or swing arms like you see in the parking ramps before the bridge so that you hit something that makes a bunch of noise, and you probably do that for under $1.2 million. Although, again, materials very expensive now, inflation.
You might
got to account for that.
You still might be able to do it for under $1.2 million.
You know, half a million for like 7 PVC pipes?
I've been to Michael's. And I think there's some things we can put together with the items they have there.
Yeah, just a little warning system. A wind chime warning to tell all the truck drivers, please don't hit the bridge. 803-0930 to join us here on WBEM. We got a couple good calls from truck drivers before this, explaining some of the reasonings why this is happening. But, you know, at the end, I think both of the truck drivers who called in said, you know, I'm giving you the reason why. That's still no excuse.
Right.
I'm explaining the mindset and what goes on inside that cab before it goes into the bridge. But that's still no excuse, and the person is still, at the end of the day, driving into a low bridge.
Yeah, and hey, if you were one of the drivers that found yourself stuck under the bridge, we'd love to hear from you. 803-0930, *930, the number to get on. Brian, I went to truckernews.com, which seems like a reputable site. And
it's one of my tabs.
And they had the new fines. Now, this is from last year. It's a year old. New fines for new trucks hitting low bridges in New York State. Now, Brian, this was by weight class. So let's just go weight by weight. Less than 10,000 pounds, your first violation, $250, and the possibility of 15 days in jail. Second violation within 18 months, $500, and the possibility of 45 days in jail.
Can I just stop you?
Yeah.
What are you in for? Well, I drove my truck and hit a bridge.
I have not heard of one of the 64 drivers going to jail. I might have missed that story. If you are between 10 and 26,000, 350 and or 15 days in jail. If you do it 3 times in 18 months, $1,000 in 3 months in jail.
You should get a certificate. I mean, if you crash her three times in 18 months, come on. I mean, that at that point, you're just testing the bridge.
But that could be three different bridges. It could be three different low bridges in your state.
Okay.
I mean, I would think, let me ask you, you're an employer, right? You employ truck drivers. If you got a driver, had a driver that hit a low bridge twice, are you letting them out there for the third time?
I don't know. I would say, listen, Larry, not a good start, but kind of need you. Right? That's probably what your answer is.
And I don't know what the average weight class is, but if you're over 26,000, you're looking at 700 and 15 days in jail. You know, again, you know, $250 is a lot of money to me, but I still don't know if it would make the impact. Don't you think those fines for hitting the bridge could be a little higher?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think anyone's getting the jail time, so why not make those fines like $1,000 for the first time?
Someone's saying that there's a George Urban in Depew, a bridge that has like the sensors and flashing lights. I mean, not even Clark Griswold spent over $1 million on his light show.
That's
so
right.
The lights cannot cost that much money.
No, the lights, a little horn, you know, something that will say, hey, moron, do you see what you're about to do?
Someone said hang a line of weighted pool noodles as a hike guide. They're about $1 each. They're probably cheap. If you held off the project until the winter, you know, after swim season, you probably get it even cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, 50 cents each.
Yeah.
Dollar store.
Now we're talking about finding reasonable, cheap ways to stop this from happening. All good ideas.
I love this bridge. I love the story. It comes up all the time. It's still how it is still a problem is just beyond me. And I was just, like I said in the first segment, I put myself in the shoes of somebody who was being audited by the IRS, you know, over like a few thousand dollars, just like on the phone with your auditor. Like, hang on, is this the same federal government that spent $1 million to tell people to not go into the bridge? Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, can we reverse this audit for a second? Because I have some questions. How was that $1 million spent? Listen, I agree this is a project that needs addressing. But here's something else that needs addressing. Right before you hit that bridge, there's a stop sign where the rail trail goes through. It has to cut over Young Street to kind of go and continue. And the pavement is so bumpy there. You have to like swerve around and, right. You know, people might think you're turning and they try and cut you off. Can we just pave that? Is there going to be some spillage in this $1.2 million after we put a sign on the bridge to address that? Or how about the parking lot or anywhere right on the entire Twin City Expressway, by the way, needs to be repaved.
Could use
that.
Yeah.
Just some of that money. It would be helpful. Thank you.
It's always interesting to look at, you know, infrastructure costs and then think about your drive home or a drive you make regularly and say, how the heck is this not being addressed?
Yeah. Someone says they like my idea, the reverse audit.
Yeah.
I think you should, for every question they ask you, you know, about one line item on your tax return, you should be able to turn that around and say, okay, I will explain this. You explain this.
Yeah.
Like, please. How in the world did this cost $500,000?
It all starts, Brian. My favorite process to watch in Washington. What was this attached to? The political nerd in me always wants to know, what was this 1.2? What was the main bill that this was attached to bring that money to Western New York?
Now, this is, all right, so there's $1.2 million. I am under the assumption this is all federal money.
Well, I think that's what Congressman Higgins is doing there.
Yeah, but, you know, there's also Bill Conrad will be the mayor's there. So it's, you got people from all levels of government there. But I'm going under the assumption this is federal money.
Yes.
This is like, does this reek of somebody from some other part of the country saying like, oh, wow, trucks hitting a bridge over and over. Like, you must have to repair the bridge and, you know, everything else. And that's got to cost a lot of money. Here's $1 million, and I'm sure you'll be back for more next year.
Right.
And right? people have no idea.
But they're right about half of that. They will be back for more next year. But can you see can we see this bridge? Can we see what our money did? Yes, here it is. It's the Griswold.
I guess the signs could be bigger. the low bridge ahead signs, they're not the biggest signs. I mean, there's 20 of them before you hit it. So you should see one of them.
Right. I mean, that's on the driver. So now we need to play to the drivers that aren't looking at the signs. Again, if you're a driver, you should be reading every sign, from a deer crossing sign to a, hey, this lane closes in a half a mile, idiot sign. We won't get into that conversation again.
I like someone, the pool noodle study will cost $2 million. Right. You do have to decide which colors work the best and won't fade over time.
Right, and you have to send someone store by store to look at where the cheapest one is. You have to pay that person.
Do your due diligence to make sure you're getting the deal on the pool noodle so that you're not spending. You have to pay somebody to make sure that you're not going to spend a dollar more than you need to.
Right, and that person made $50,000 for that project.
It needs to be done. Something does need to be done, I guess. I say I guess because bridge is still standing. Seems pretty solid to me.
The bridge is still, but you know what? I mean, I, as a citizen of Western New York, I would like to see the bridge left alone. You know, I would like to see the.
See how long it can go for?
Yeah, I would like to see the bridge left alone and you know, trucks avoiding the bridge, because I do fear that one truck will come by one day and do the damage that has yet to be done.
We'll go to Dan. Dan says here you live right around the bridge just like me. How often have you seen one of these?
Well, I've been seeing it for the last 49 years of my life, since I've been a kid. In fact, my uncle used to be a boss of Color Forms, and he had to send a crew over there to unload a truck a couple times when they hit the truck when I was younger. That's no longer in business. But I will say this, though. These trucks, a lot of them are turning around, and they're diverting themselves. They're going from Young Street to Syracuse Street past Mullen School on the opposite side of Mullen, and they're ruining the roads. The roads are getting all screwed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even that old, the pavement. It looks like third world country, the pavement. And the water lines are getting all damaged. So you'll see Erie County there fixing water lines constantly because of the weight of these trucks are ruining the road. And they brought it up Tuesday at the Common Council meeting. I know there's some residents there, some neighbors of mine, that had concern about this because, you know, every time they turn around, their cable lines get ripped down and, you know, the roads are always getting, screwed up and the water lines are always fixing them. So.
And it's annoying. Dan, thanks for the call. As somebody, like I said, I drive on that road almost every single day. You do see pretty frequently trucks pulling into one of the plazas. There's, you know, the Big Lots, the Tops, a whole bunch of different things right around there. And they're not all making deliveries. Some of them are doing the U-turn because they have come to the realization, oh, I can't go down. There's the bridge
right
over here. And then you have to wait for a big tractor trailer to do a U-turn on a road that already no one knows how to drive on. I mean, don't get me started on the merging on Young's. I deal with it every single day. The thing that I think will be missing if trucks stop hitting this bridge, if you go a little further down that road closer to, you know, where it intersects with Delaware, there's a whole bunch of, there's like an auto body shop there, and there's a lot of guys who sit out on lawn chairs just kind of hanging out all day long in the summer. And you can tell they're hanging out, drinking beers, waiting for some action at that bridge. They're waiting for that truck. They want to see it. And it's just like every day, it's like, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Oh, here comes the truck. Oh, turns around. Not going to happen. So if you stop the trucks, I mean, what are those guys going to do?
They're going to have to find another form of entertainment.
They're going to have another hobby.
Let me ask you. You get, if you're a truck driver, you get right to that bridge. I mean, and you realize it, right? The sensors do go off. What kind of pain is that to turn the truck around if you've gone past your last outlet? You know what I mean?
Seems like a pain.
Yeah, right?
It seems like a job and a half, for judging from how long it takes and how long you're kind of sitting there waiting.
Right.
You know, one of the previous callers mentioned that a lot of people from out of the country don't necessarily understand the GPS, or they're given faulty equipment or something like that. And I was thinking, they must not be from the area, because if you were from Western New York and you went to fourth grade in Western New York, you would have known low bridge, everyone down.
Yes, yes.
And that does not just apply to the Erie Canal.
No.
Also Young Street in the city of Tonawanda. They should change the song, actually.
It's a great 50 miles on Yonge Street.
The updated 2021 version for like whenever the next big anniversary is of the Erie Canal, which I know we just had one, that should be the thing. All right, we're redoing, you know, low bridge, everybody down. Don't drive your truck into the bridge on Yonge Street in the city of Tonawanda.
We can work in progress. We'll have to call Bruce Springsteen. We'll work with that. You would think that's a great lesson in life. You see a low bridge, avoid it at all costs.
Someone asking, is the junkyard bar still there? It's still there, and so is the junkyard across the street. Where do you think they get their junk? These trucks, what they leave behind. There's never any shortage of junk. It's there.
Before we get out of here, I do have to say, Brian, something I wanted to say 2 days ago and I completely forgot. Congratulations to somebody in Niagara Falls, New York, for winning Cash for Life. That person will be making $1,000 a day for the rest of their life. So congratulations, and I was happy to see that someone in Western New York hit the lottery.
Are you happy, though?
I'm happy to see someone.
Not you.
It's not me, but you know what? This is a great region, a great community, and I'm glad that someone within the Western New York community is able to every day cash that $1,000 check.
What a guy. I mean, I can feel that out of the kindness of your heart.
I would rather someone in Western New York win it than someone not from Western New York. Very happy.
All right. Hey, I'll be off tomorrow. Joe will be here with you, though.
That's right.
Thanks for listening. BMAS and Beamer on WBEN.